Take your Bibles, turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we finished this morning talking about the task of thanksgiving, the task. We've seen a time for thanksgiving, thanks for thanksgiving, testimonies of thanksgiving, tributes of thanksgiving, thanklessness of thanksgiving, thinking of thanksgiving, the temptation of thanksgiving, and of course, this morning we talked about and started on the task of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, one of the toughest verses in all the Bible. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the reason it is such a difficult verse is because of that in everything. We just don't like that in everything give thanks. It was like we were talking about in the teen group. We had teenagers giving thanks and different reasons for thanking the Lord and things we had in common. Well, we can all thank God when things are good. Amen. We have no trouble there. But boy, when we get in the valley, when it becomes difficult, we have a tough time. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Thank you so much, Father, for your word. I do thank you for the blessings this morning, God. What a joy it was to have so many people. And just the great spirit and the altar call and a fella getting saved and another man baptized. We rejoice over that. And that's something to give thanks for that is a blessing. But then, Lord, this afternoon we hear Bob Hill goes to the hospital. And you said we need to give thanks for that as well. You said that we need to thank you. And so help us, Lord, to get this settled tonight in our own hearts, our own lives. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to have the right attitude, help us to have the right atmosphere, and then help us to have the right action. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we talked about the right attitude this morning. We talked about the responsibility, and we talked about the realization of one of the reasons it is so difficult to obey this verse is because it says in everything, give thanks. It's in everything. And again, when we have all the good things, we have all the blessings, we have great attendance, we have great bus, you know, like today, the promotion, we had the pilgrims and the Indians and all of that. What a blessing that was. And we say, praise the Lord and thank the Lord. But obviously, then trials come, then problems come. And when problems and trials come, we have to be prepared for that because God says, in everything, give thanks. It's not just in some things, it's in everything. So we started off today, this morning, with the right attitude and having the right attitude. How do you handle it? I mean, how do you handle it when things don't go the way that you thought they should go? Well, you got to have the right attitude. And we talked about the responsibility, the realization, and then the response. And the parable of the two debtors is one of the great, great stories in the Bible. And it's such a good story as far as getting our gratitude attitude. We talked about it this morning. And having a gratitude. You know, God saved my soul. What more could I want in life than God saved my soul? I mean, how much better can it be than God saved my soul? I mean, again, if we just would keep that attitude, if we would just keep that in our hearts and our mind, that we had a debt to pay, we could not pay that debt, and the Lord paid it for us. I mean, it's a great, great thing. And it doesn't matter how big your debt. It doesn't matter if you're 50 pence or 100 or 500 pence or a million pence. It doesn't matter. None of that makes any difference at all because we all had a debt. We could not pay the debt, and he paid that debt for us. And that is such a great thing. Now, that needs to be our focus. Every time something happens, that has to be our focus. Like right now, you ought to be thinking, I am so glad God saved my soul. I am so glad that I can go to heaven someday. That ought to be on our hearts and our minds. And so, yeah, you know, when you go to work tomorrow and the boss says, hey, you're getting a Thanksgiving raise. Amen. Well, staff, don't get too excited. But or you know, something else good, some blessing. I mean, here it is, Thanksgiving. You're going to have all the relatives come, and they're going to be so happy, and you're going to have great times. And you'll say, thank you, Lord, for our family. You'll get around the table and college students, some of them, they'll be home, and boy, what a blessing that's going to be, right? And you'll be so thankful, and you'll be in a spirit of thanks and praise and rejoicing, but then, you know, it's going to snow. And there's going to be problems, and there's going to be issues that come up in your life. So the right attitude. Then number two is the right atmosphere. Turn to Psalm 100, if you would, please. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We need to have the right atmosphere, and Psalm 100 just gets a great atmosphere. It really does. And by the way, Psalm 100 is not a recommendation. Psalm 100 is a command, just like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It is a command. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In other words, it's not an option to do. It's we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so I wrote three things under this. First of all, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's having the right atmosphere. How are you going to have the right atmosphere? I'm going to be rejoicing. How are you going to have the right atmosphere at home? I'm going to be rejoicing. How are you going to have the right atmosphere at work? I'm going to go to work rejoicing. How are you going to have the right atmosphere wherever you are? Well, you're going to need to rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. You see, it says make a joyful noise. And I think about all the noise we make, God is saying, let it be joyful. I mean, in all the noise that you make, let it be joyful. Let it be unto the Lord. May his servants serve the Lord, what's it say? With gladness. You know, Martha was cumbered, the Bible says, with much serving, but Mary was at the feet of Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, Mary hath chosen the better part. So automatically I recognize that before I serve the Lord, I need to get to the feet of Jesus. Amen. Before we serve God, before we run our bus route, before we go soul winning, before we teach our Sunday school class, no matter what it is, before we do it, we need to get at the feet of Jesus and rejoice in the Lord. Because honestly, serving, it can be very cumbersome if you're not close to Jesus. If you're not walking with Jesus, it can be a pain. Running the bus and going out there when it's below zero and starting buses and driving those buses and being on those bus routes. I mean, it can be tough. It can be tough. It can be tough soul winning when it's cold. It can be tough soul winning when it's raining. It can be tough when you serve God. You can become cumbered. And how many have become cumbered and eventually quit? You know, because they didn't have that walk, that closeness, or as we talk about, they're not abiding in the vine with the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. That's getting the right atmosphere. Respect the Lord. In verse 3 it says, know ye. You don't have to wonder about it. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Amen. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, we need to respect the Lord. He is God. It's like I said, and I have to deal with this all the time, because weather sometimes will you know, it'll bother me, and I have to say, okay, but who made it rain? I mean, God knows what he's doing when he makes it rain. Who made it snow? I'll say, Lord, it's a Sunday morning, and here comes the snow, and you know it's going to affect the attendance. You know the buses are trying to be out there, and it's a safety issue, but yet, who controls all that? You know ye that the Lord, he is God, and then understand this, it is he that made us. He made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. Okay? We need to respect the Lord. In everything, give thanks. Okay, again, if we have the right attitude, hey, I know I couldn't pay my debt. He paid my debt. Now I'm going to have the right atmosphere. Well, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, and I'm going to respect him. I'm going to know that, hey, listen, the atmosphere around me is you're God. You're in charge. Okay, it's not up to me to figure everything out and do my own thing. I'm going to follow you because you are the Lord. We are his. We are sheep. Can you say, bah? That's what we are. We're sheep. And sheep, if you study your Bible, my wife did a Sunday school lesson on sheep several years ago. It's an interesting study because sheep, they're just not real intelligent. And God says we're sheep. All right? And sheep will do amazing things. I mean, you know, a sheep will walk off a cliff. You say, why would you do that? I mean, they'll walk out and get away from the shepherd and be eaten by a wolf. You know, that's us though. We've got to understand that and respect the Lord. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd, and that is so clear. And we're the sheep of what? Whose pasture? His pasture. Right. His pasture. So he's the shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. Well, what about my rights? What about me? No. His pasture. Okay, again, in everything give thanks. Can you imagine the sheep getting all bent out of shape because the shepherd is leading them into some place where he knows there's green grass. He knows there's a nice flowing stream. He knows that sheep is going to find everything it needs right there. He knows that it's going to be the perfect place, and that sheep gets all upset. It's his pasture. We've got to trust him. And we have got to understand he can do as he chooses. Amen. In everything, give thanks, because everything is a bonus. Everything's a bonus. What do you mean? Because we deserve nothing. Actually, we deserve hell. And so everything is about, yeah, but you say my pasture, the Lord has me in a pasture and it's kind of barren right now. Yeah, but that's a bonus still. You don't even deserve that. Have you ever thought that, okay, the pasture, maybe there's the stream is starting to run out of water. Have you ever thought that the shepherd's got that all under control? Have you ever thought that the shepherd knows what he's doing? Has he ever let you run out of water yet? Has he ever let you run out of food yet? Has he ever not taken, well, it's looking pretty lean, it's looking, yeah, but listen, we need to respect the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, respect the Lord, and then Psalm 100 also says, recognize the Lord. Recognize the Lord. Why? Because it says here, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Recognize what he's done. Recognize the blessings of the Lord in everything. Give thanks. Well, come on. Recognize that the Lord's good. And that's why the Bible says, and all things work together for good. We can't even imagine if we went through and gave testimonies of what was bad that God made good. What was bad? It just looked so bad, and yet, wow, it became so good. You know? And we could have testimonies all over, and yet the same people giving testimonies, we're seeing storm clouds, and it's like, oh, what am I going to do? No, listen, recognize, this is God. This is God. And do you understand people in the New Testament church, the early church, they were persecuted to death. Many of them, they died for their faith. And yet they rejoiced. Some of the books you read about that time and the martyrs and Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about the people that would be led into the Colosseum to be executed or to be fed to animals, whatever method was used. And they were singing. To be burned at a stake, and they were praising God. Paul and Silas in jail, they're praising the Lord. You see, we need to recognize the Lord. This is God we're talking about. We're not talking about a human. We're talking about God. You need to make Psalm 100 your atmosphere. I kind of skipped this. I got in a hurry, but you know, in respecting the Lord, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And that, I was going to preach on that. His enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, that's to respect. That's to say, God, I'm coming into Your place, and I'm thankful that I can. By the way, the only way we can enter into His gates is because of His mercy. We deserve absolutely nothing. And so the right atmosphere, the right attitude. I am guilty. I cannot pay my debt. Jesus paid it for me. That is the attitude. The atmosphere, rejoice in the Lord. Respect the Lord. Recognize the Lord. And then finally, we have the right action. The right action. And it's very, very simple. And it's just, okay, so what do I do? First of all, be reasonable. Okay, in all of life, we're talking about thankfulness. We're talking about thanksgiving. Be reasonable. I love Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us what? Reason together. That's what I mean by be reasonable. Come now and let us reason together. In other words, think through this. Okay? The worst thing that could happen is something physical, something. I mean, I guess we would say the worst thing that could happen is we die, but we're saved. Amen. Okay, the worst thing that could happen is we die and we go to heaven. So everything else is really not so bad. It's just not so bad. And so we need to stop and we need to think about it. We need to reason together. Our actions are always going to be better. Listen to me. Always our actions are going to be better when we think. Amen? Amen. Always better when you think and you don't react. Okay, because reacting will get you in trouble. You react at work, could get you fired, you know. You react when somebody cuts you off when they're driving, could get you killed. You know? You know, I driving that van has changed my life. I can't honk at anybody anymore because the horn doesn't work. So I can't react. I mean, I can react, but nobody hears it because it doesn't work. And so what's best? Reason. Stop and think about everything. Amen. Reason. Our actions are always better when we reason. Okay? Again, we're going back to our task. In everything, give thanks. Well, okay, so I'm going to be reasonable. Now, here's how I would be reasonable. Okay, first of all, in everything, give thanks. It is the will of God. It is His wish. It is His desire for me. Okay, for each of us, but I'm going to apply it to myself. It's easy for me to point at Kathy Moore and say, hey, in everything give thanks. But that's true for her, but it's true for me. Okay, and so it's the will of God. Now stop and think about that for just a minute. It's the will of God that I give thanks for everything. Isn't it then the will of God that maybe I'm in that valley? Isn't it maybe the will of God as David had rocks thrown at him by Shimei, and he said, the Lord has let this happen for a reason. And of all people, I mean, you'd think David, he's a soldier, and his soldiers were by him and said, we'll cut off his head. David said, no. No, let him throw rocks, let him call me names, let him do it all. Because he stopped and he reasoned, he said, you know, this must be the will of God. Now, I promise you, David did not understand what was going on. I promise you, when his son Absalom betrayed him, he didn't know what was going on. I promise you, he was a man that was used to loyalty, and he did not understand how his own son could turn the people against him. He couldn't possibly. But you know what he did? He stopped and he thought, you know what? God has let this happen. Folks, seriously, one of the greatest actions you can do is not react. One of the greatest actions in the world is to stop and think, okay, it is, whatever's going on here, it is the will. He's allowed this to happen. Okay, it's part of His plan. He's let it happen. So many people fret over the will of God. They wait on signs and counsel and all these. This is so clear cut. And yet it's so hard for us to do. It's so hard for us to just say, God, I guess this trial is Your will. I guess this sickness is Your will. I guess this job situation is your will. So it's the will of God. Number two, since it's the will of God, it can be done. You understand, God has never told us to do something we can't do. God won't tell you to do something you can't do. It's not going to happen. Never has happened, and it won't happen. Okay, God, when God says, this is my will for your life, it can be done. Maybe tough. God said we may be able to bear it. No matter what, we may be able to bear it. We can handle it. You can handle it. You know, yeah, but boys, you know, it's my job, it's my finance. You can, thank God. Okay, look, we've tried griping. We've tried complaining. Now let's do what God said. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this trial. Thank you, Lord, for this problem. Thank you, Lord, for this heartache. Wow, you say that's, folks, this is all serious stuff here because this is really Christianity. Amen. This is true Christianity where we, you know, look, if it's the will of God, you can handle it. Amen. You can get through the whatever the trial is in your life. You can. And the third thought under this, many do or did. Look at history. Go back. Look at it. Daniel, he did. Daniel, I mean, he's going into the lion's den for doing right. And he did go in the lion's den, and he did right. David, he did right, you know. Paul and Silas, they sing praises to God in jail. They did right. I love John on Patmos. He's being punished, sent to the island of Patmos to be punished. That'll show him. That'll teach him. And God opens up heaven and shows him the future. Boy, some punishment, right? All things work together for good. Now, in our study of Revelation, we determined that several people think that John was boiled in oil. Others are not so sure. That might be true. That might not be true. The Bible certainly does not say that. We know John was being punished, but let's say he was boiled in oil and he has sores all over his body, and he's not only on the Isle of Patmos, but he's in pain, and he's suffering. And he might have started out by saying, you know, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but then God showed him heaven and the future. And all things did work for good. Amen. In everything, give thanks. It's the will of God. Since it's the will of God, it can be done. Many do or did it. And then the fourth thing, we are sheep. And we need to be sheep. We are sheep. And we need to be sheep. Okay. Psalm 23 isn't just for funerals, folks. Did you know that? We always read it at funerals. Look at it. Psalm 23 is for life, not just for death. It's funny how it is always read at funerals. The Lord is my shepherd. What's it say? I shall not want. But the grass, it's brown all around here. I shall not want. Is the shepherd the shepherd or not? Can he handle it? Amen. Of course he can. Yeah, but things are looking pretty peaked. Yeah, but I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And what's it say? It says, he leadeth me. We sing the song, he leadeth me, he leadeth me. He leads me. He leads me. And we love Psalm 23. And boy, you know, it's a funeral, and we've got it memorized, and we're kind of saying it along with the preacher, and we say all these words, and then we say, I just don't know what I'm going to do. But you don't have to know what you... Be a sheep. Just be a sheep. Amen. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so he says, right, left, right, left, right, left, stop, turn right, straight, you see? And we just let him tell us what... Be a sheep. That's in everything... Yeah, but if I'm a sheep, I'm going to have to, you know, I might be going blindly. Yeah, but who's leading? You understand, if he's leading, you can close your eyes. Because he's never led anyone astray. Keep in mind, he loves us. He loves us so much, he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Oh yeah, trust him with his leading. Turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, again, we like to try to think we think like God, but our thoughts aren't the same as God's. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. See that? Higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we cannot put God in a box. We cannot say, since I don't understand this, I'm not going to. No, we can't do that. Reason. The right action is to stop and think. Because, number five, he's never failed. He has never failed. All things work together for good. That's the result. Now, you say, well, I've known some things to end up not so good. Well, it may be your good, or it may be his good. Have you ever thought of that? It may be another's good. Wait a minute. What happens to sheep? They get sheared. Is that for the sheep? Or is that for somebody to wear a coat? Well, I don't like being sheared. I don't want to be sheared. Don't shear me. But that's for somebody else's good. How about the meat of a sheep? You know, this isn't working out well. I'm about to be butchered, but it's going to work out well for somebody. Now, again, those are just illustrations from the sheep and the shepherd, but we just have to trust our shepherd. And what may look like a problem to you, have you ever thought that a mechanic is praying and he's begging God to provide money for Christmas, or God to provide money to pay bills, or God to pray, whatever. You know, he's begging God to help him out. And do you understand that it's going to take your car breaking down to fulfill that prayer? Does make you think, doesn't it? I mean, do we want that guy's prayer to be answered? Fiery furnace was a tragedy. It really was a tragedy, but were they not delivered? I mean, it was a tragedy. Let's admit it. I mean, the front page of the paper, boys thrown in fiery furnace. Tough. That's a tragedy, right? But they were delivered. Now, we call that a victory, don't we? And so we went from a tragedy to a victory. And we love the victory. Wow! I mean, we preach about it. We sing songs about it. We're so excited about it. And yet, who wanted the tragedy? Nobody. Not me. I don't want to go in that fiery furnace. And yet, who was with them? Jesus. In the fiery furnace. You say, man, I'd love that. No, you really wouldn't. Not when the furnace is heated seven times hotter than it's supposed to, and the guards themselves literally turn into crispy critters as they're throwing you in. Oh, you'd love it inside, but boy, it'd be scary. You know, I'd love to tell you, hey, this would be a lot of fun. It doesn't sound fun to me. It's a tragedy, but they're delivered, so it's a victory. You couldn't have had the second without the first. You know, we have Christians all over saying, oh, I just want to see God work. Do you? Do you understand that most of the time when God's working, it's on in the midst of somebody needing God to work? And we often don't like that. You couldn't have the second without the first. The early church had the persecution, and that's a tragedy. I mean, we have to agree, that is a tragedy. The persecution of the early church, that is unbelievable as you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and about some of the things that happened. And yet, the gospel was spread. How many times in the book of Acts do you read the word scattered? And they were scattered because of the persecution, and that's how the gospel was spread. I've often wondered, if we don't start spreading the gospel, maybe we'll get scattered.
Yeah.
And again, it's to get the gospel out. And that's a good thing. But again, there's no... So we say spreading the gospel, that's victory. And so there's no second without the first. Boy, we all love hearing some preacher. I think especially of some of Brother Hyle's stories when he went to First Baptist Church and he just preached and had the bus ministry and he had threats and he had bricks thrown through his window and was called names and all kinds of things like that just because of his preaching and the stand that he took but then he talks about how later on God blessed and they became the largest church in the world and again we say hooray and we stand up and say hallelujah, boy, that's great, how wonderful. I'd like to, would you? Would you really? Yeah. See, again, let's understand. You know, you want the blessing without the stand and the trial from taking the stand. You know, the tragedy of war. I mean, come on, folks, let's admit, war is, it's a tragedy. The tragedy of war, but because of war, we have our freedom today. Praise the Lord. So the tragedy of war brings on the blessing of freedom, and all we have to do, if we just would stop and think about it, come now and let us reason together. Let's stop and let's be reasonable. God won't fail in his purpose. The only time there's failure is when we don't say thank you, Lord. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And then the sixth thing under be reasonable is don't expect so much. We're so bad because we expect so much. Don't expect so much. God said he'd supply all our what?
Needs.
Yeah. Yeah, but I want. Yep. But God will supply all our needs. But the key to that, you know, what is a need? Because we deserve hell. It is so popular today. Nobody wants to talk about that today. It's just such a quiet point. Well, you know, nobody really deserves hell. Everybody's pretty. I mean, I think man is basically good. God says man is basically bad. And we deserve hell. And so if he's going to supply all our needs, praise the Lord. He said that he would. But let's understand that our needs aren't always our wants. And we don't always know what we need. I finally broke down. I went to the doctor, and I don't like going to doctors. I don't like taking medicines. I really try to avoid a lot of that. Of course, with glaucoma, I have no choice, but I went to the doctor, and here's the thing. I did not know that I needed what he prescribed. I still don't even know what it is. Isn't it amazing how we trust our doctors, and we don't trust God? You can't read the writing, you know, but I didn't know I needed that. Oh, really, doc? You say I need that? Yeah. And why wouldn't I trust God when he says, here's what you need?
Amen.
You need this valley. You need this problem. You need this trial. You need it. Look what it says in Job 1. Job 1 in verse 20. The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How did he come? Naked. New car? Naked. New clothes? Naked. Food? A roof? Naked. That's all he had. Let's not expect so much. And then don't ever, ever expect God to go against his word. Because he won't. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. Sometimes the problems we have, sometimes the difficulties we're going through, sometimes it's chastening. And God's never wrong when he does that. He's not going to go against his word. But he chastens because he loves us. No other reason. You know, God's not trying to hurt you. God's not trying to ruin your life. He loves you. And so don't expect God to go against his word. What about the law of sowing and reaping? I mean, he always sticks to his word. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. Always. It never fails. And Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." God's not going to go against his word. You know, so here's somebody, they refuse to work, and they blame God because they have no food. They blame God because they can't pay their bills. They blame, God says you got to work. Yeah, you may be physically unable to. God takes that into consideration. There's ways to get help and all of that. But again, let's be reasonable. Let's stop. And because so many people get bitter at God, and he's God. And if we just stop and think about it, you know, this isn't something that God is, you know, doing to me to hurt me. This is something God is allowing in my life to help me. Be reasonable. Number two, be receptive. And I'm hurrying. I really am. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 again. But notice the verse right before it. And it's very interesting. In fact, I started to preach on this passage during the month of Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. But verse 17 says this, three little words, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You see, be receptive, okay? Again, if we are wanting to have the right action, then our action should be, okay, God, I'm listening. I'm listening to you, God, and I'm talking to you, God, and I'm going to pray without ceasing. Here's what he said. Ye have not because ye ask not. I don't know how many people have come and they said, you know, God said he would provide, and they named something. And I say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. Okay, be receptive. You know, be ready. God, I'm opening up my heart. I'm opening up my life. And then yield yourselves. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with his Spirit. Yield all to him. You know, that's the key, because that's how you're going to end up thankful. Again, how in the world can we have some knowledge that's greater than God's when we're not even walking with God? How can we? Yeah, it's true. You will not understand circumstances in life. You'll not understand that illness. You'll not understand the death of that loved one. You'll not understand those things as long as you yourself are not having a relationship with God where you can trust him. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And we need to be receptive. So many are religious, but they're not having a life as a Christian, because a life as a Christian, we must be receptive, praying, reading our Bible, being filled with the Spirit of God. And that leads me to number three, and that's be remorseful. Here's an action, remorseful. Our story about the two debtors today, one owed 50, one owed 500, both failed. Luke 7 says that she wept tears and wiped his feet with her tears. Where'd those tears come from? They came from her remorse. Hey, you know what? Simon says, oh, here's a wicked sinner. She knew who she was. She knew what she was. She knew she was the wicked sinner. And at the feet of Jesus, she wept so much that she could use her hair and wipe the feet. By the way, wiping the feet in those days is a whole lot different than in these. If we had feet washing services, guess how many feet would really need washed? None. You know why? Because before you came to church, you'd wash them real clean. And you'd clip your toenails. Wouldn't you? We would. Ladies would, they'd paint their toenails real pretty. Why are you painting? Well, because they're going to wash my feet at church. You understand, in the New Testament time, they many times wore sandals, and the roads were dusty and dirty. And they walked through that dust and that dirt and that mud. And when they came to a place, their feet were dirty. And it was a custom to wash their feet. I want you to try to imagine a woman crying so hard that she used her tears to wash his feet. Be remorseful. We should never forget that all have sinned. All have sinned. Oh yeah, we're forgiven. Oh, praise the Lord, we go to heaven. But the closer to him, the more I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. I say so many times to the Lord, Father, forgive us for messing up. I'm so sorry we mess up. We do mess up. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6. And by the way, we don't have a knowledge of messing up until we see him. We can look pretty good compared to everybody else. But here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said that he said, I saw the Lord in Isaiah 6. And then he said right after that, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Well, how did you come to that conclusion, Isaiah? I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. When I saw the Lord, I realized how short I come. I saw the Lord, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Be reasonable. Think. Be receptive. 3, be remorseful. And then 4, be resourceful. Action. Be resourceful. Here's what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. God said, Who shall I send? Isaiah said, Here am I. Here am I. Send me. Isn't that a blessing? Here am I, Lord. Send me. What's he saying? He's saying, here's what I have to give you. Me. I don't have anything else, but I have me. You can have me. The wicked, vile sinner woman had a 500 pence debt. What do I have? Oh, I have my tears. What do I have? Well, I have my hair to wipe his feet. What do I have? Well, I have my lips to kiss his dirty feet. Here am I. I'm going to tell you what'll change your life in this area of being thankful is to be resourceful and just say, here am I, God. Here's the whole point of the parable that Jesus told. Simon, you have water. You have rags. You have all kinds of ways to wash my feet. And you didn't even think about it. And this wicked, sinful woman, she has not ceased to cry her tears and wipe my feet with her hair. And it's interesting, the Pharisees noticed her box of ointment. It was expensive. There is a cost, you know? There is a cost. And the right action was to give it all to him, to be resourceful, to say, God, you go, it's all yours. My wallet, checkbook, everything, my life. I love the song, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful practice. What a wonderful thing for us to do. But we don't do that unless and until we decide, God, I'm serious about this thing. I want to obey. You say, preach, that's just one verse. You took two messages to preach it. Yeah, I know, because it's a tough thing. In everything, give thanks. And it is one of the toughest things that you will do in your life. But if you will get the right attitude, and that is an attitude of gratitude, if you will get the right atmosphere, and you ought to have that atmosphere in every phase of your life, at work, at home, at church, have the right atmosphere, rejoicing in the Lord, respecting the Lord, and recognizing that the Lord's good. And then if you'll have the right action, you know, just decide, I'm going to be reasonable, I'm going to stop and think about all these things, I'm going to think about this thing that took place, I'm going to be receptive to the Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to be remorseful because I'm close to God, I see the Lord, and I see where I fall short, and I'm remorseful, I feel bad about it, therefore I'm not going to be saying, hey, what about my rights, what about what I get, and then I'm going to be resourceful, I'm going to say, here am I. Send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. I'll go through that valley, if that's your will for me. If in that valley is quicksand, then just, Father, please, when I hold up my hand, please pull me out. Amen. But you know what? If he doesn't, what's the worst thing that can happen? You go to heaven. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.